We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN on a Friday. Yes, a smooth Friday. I guarantee it's going to be smooth. We're going to make sure it's that way. We've got plenty to discuss, including a ton from Summer League. That Cooper Flagg debut, we got it. Got off to a slow start, at least certainly offensively. Cooper Flagg, though, he didn't get to our 18.5. He tried. I told John before we came in here, he was trying. Took 21 shots. He was trying to live up to the moment, wasn't he? While Bronny was trying to body him. They really did try to make it sort of Bronny versus Cooper, even though it wasn't that. It truly wasn't. In the end, Cooper got the win. He only scored 10 points. Still, he left many impressed, including, I was listening to Bobby Marks talk about Cooper Flagg. Yeah, you go 5 of 21, you might look at that game. Cooper Flagg looked at it and said it was one of the worst games of his life. Many others, including experts, were still impressed by his performance. We'll talk about it. A bunch of Tigers shined as well. And then you got the Grizzlies in action today. I just hate, John, that it's not during our show. Would have had a chance to hear you on the play-by-play.
Yeah.
We would have had a chance to be Pete and Brevin.
That's all we ever could hope to be.
But I think it won't happen.
No, not to be.
Not today.
Not to be.
And then you weren't – what – were you out – you were out there. What happened last year? We had Colorado State. I felt like I was alone, and I handed it off to Jeffrey. Because I had, but you.
Yes, I was out there.
You were out there. Yes. You were there. Yes. That's right. You were in Vegas. And so I didn't have, we couldn't have been Pete. That's we right. weren't Pete and Brevin then. It was just solo dolo.
I abandoned you.
Yes. Right. I was, who's your boy? Mark Jones.
That's right.
Yeah. And he, I was solo dolo.
Totally capable of carrying it by himself.
And then we were up, and I handed it off to Jeffrey Wright.
He couldn't finish the job.
And him, they didn't make any adjustments. Yeah. And Jeffrey, they lost the game.
It was weird because, you know, I was doing, I was doing Field of 68. And so we had like all these different TVs. Now we had four TVs on. In this room we were in.
Yes.
And not every game was on at, you know what I'm saying? Like they would kind of flip back and forth because there were more than four on. And so I just remember feeling at half, Dane is taking over.
I thought he was about to lead us on a run.
They got this. It's cool. I don't really remember what happened in the second half. I really need to go back and watch that game because I was so preoccupied with everything else that was going on that day.
They packed it in on Dane.
Is that so they adjusted that?
Yes.
And we didn't have the point guard play to adjust back.
Oh, Tyree's been gone. I mean, he's so key in games like that when it felt like you were losing momentum. I mean, we saw it all year long. So not having him hurt. I want to tell you, too, that somebody got nicked up at the half that hurt you. It's the kid from Wichita State. Can't even remember now.
Oh, Kobe Rogers.
They come and they go so fast.
They do. They do. You're right.
One before him was Jaquan, wasn't it? Yeah. I almost said Jaquan was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, Cole, I think he got nicked up at the half, so he didn't have a great second half. PJ, obviously, we know. Anyway, didn't mean to come in here and start talking. You will need more TVs, though, soon, because at some point we're going to get an I guess not right now, but at some point we'll get an expanded tourney.
Yeah. Well,
keep making it.
We'll see. Yeah. They met, and they could not decide and agree on it yesterday, but they will continue having those discussions. I mean, they clearly want to do it. So
imminent.
That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Right.
It will be a 76 team or 72 team field
at some point.
Yeah, that's what it'll be. I think they're supposed to meet and continue talking until next month. So they got plenty of time. They want to expand this, then they got plenty of time. All right, yeah, lots to get to. Cooper Flagg made his debut. We talked about it yesterday. There was no way that I was not going to bet on the aura of Cooper Flagg in his first game ever in the NBA. And it wasn't because of him that they won the game at all, really. Although he did have some very important plays.
Yeah, he made the pass.
Denied by – he got the block.
Big blocks up.
He got the assist right
his
after.
His own assist to Nimhard.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, by the way, undrafted.
Yeah, he was special last night, and Nimhard was. He hit that – you know,
it's not a play.
Yes, exactly right. And they were talking about him like he could be on the main roster.
Right.
You know, Nimhard.
After not being drafted.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty nuts. Pretty nuts. But, you know, Summer League is amazing because only in Moussa Cisse probably not going to be an NBA guy. You know, he's probably not going to be an NBA player.
I forgot that man was going to be out there.
But Summer League is great because Moussa Cisse out there catching lobs from Cooper Flagg in a Mavericks uniform. That's why Summer League is great, man. That's what makes it so special.
Well, he didn't catch everything.
No, he didn't. But he,
but he did. He was playing.
He acquitted himself pretty well last night, I would say. Moussa Cisse did. He wasn't. I mean, obviously they didn't run anything for him at all. He had a couple of like.
They said Dallas is raving about him.
Yeah.
Couldn't just rave about the box score last night though.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. What do you have?
Four? I don't know. He's like minus 13. I can't hold him up too high.
Well, I mean,
he looked good running the floor. We always said he could do that. 7 foot of running the floor. He's going to look good out there doing it.
And he was out there at the end with Jamarion Sharp, you know, to send away that last second lob attempt. So,
I mean, he's got the hands of Burrow. Who else did you say yesterday had small hands? Want to include him?
Ace Bailey.
The hands of Ace Bailey.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that hurts us.
Yeah, it does. There's no question. But anyway, we'll get into some Summer League observations here in just a little bit. Anthony Sain is going to join us. The Memphis Grizzlies are in action in Summer League today, 3 o'clock here Memphis time, as we talked about. It's going to be during Jeffrey and company, so he will be. It will be absolutely wall-to-wall coverage, as it should be during this time. They get a Boston Celtics team that is not very impressive, it seems like. You know, Jordan Walsh and Baylor Shireman is kind of the gist of it there. I don't even know if JD's playing. Is JD on this team? Yeah.
Well, I have no idea. Yeah, I was looking at Moose's big line. He had zero blocks, bro. Didn't you try to just give him a block?
I tried to give him a lot more than he had.
Okay.
I think just generally speaking.
No, it was good to see him out there.
Yeah, not even.
He was minus 13. I got that part right. He had 6 points.
Yeah, not even J.D. Davis is playing for the Celtics today.
Oh,
I will tell you who is. Memphis's favorite son, Memphis's favorite Grizzly ever, Kenneth Lofton Jr.
Folks still bring up his name around here.
It's his fourth Summer League. All right?
Yeah, I mean, you always have that story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Of guys that are, you know, doing this again. Baisley's out there. Darius Baisley.
Yeah, he was out there last night. And it's sad because he was doing nothing. That's the risk of playing Summer League when you're that old.
They were talking about how he averaged 14-7 for OKC years ago. Like in a full season.
That's crazy.
He's back out there.
That was the tank
for the Lakers. I'm playing for the Lakers.
Darius Baisley was one of the tank foundation layers.
He was pushing around Cooper Flagg.
Yeah,
early on
he was. He was.
Was one of the guys trying to you know, psych him out.
Yeah, he averaged 14-8.
Legler
14-7.
Legler talked about it. Said he can play. Just look at the year, you know. But it's a matter of mindset.
That was the year they were 22-50. So he was the face of it.
Bro has skills. Yeah. I don't know what's up mentally.
Yeah.
Lakers said we need him. We can use him.
Yeah.
I have no idea if he's going to make the team or whatever.
He also played in the playoffs. Seven appearances in the playoffs.
Dude's had a career and was back out there, bro.
Let's bring him into Memphis.
No.
Let's reclaim that
project.
No, he
clearly doesn't get it, and we got enough of those that we're trying to see if they got it yet.
Kenneth Lofton is on that same timeline, although he never had the – you know, production that Baisley had.
I mean, this is Celtics. You said he could be the starting center for that team. You said they have no center.
Yeah, exactly.
Beat out Xavier Tillman. There you go.
There you go. So we'll talk to Anthony Sain about that at 11:25. Get his thoughts on the Summer League team and what he's expecting, what he's thought so far.
We're going to thwart these boys.
Yeah. 4.5-point favorites are the Grizzlies over the Celtics.
I just wish we had Coward throw out there.
That's right. That would be unfair. I mean, you'd be one of the better teams. I mean, you're probably top five without him. You'd probably be top two with him. So, anyway, we'll talk to Anthony Sain about all of that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Parthu Padia is going to join us. He'll be joining us by phone. He's back home in North Carolina. We'll talk to him about the roster, the scheduling. Lots to get to with Parthu Padia on Memphis basketball. We'll do that at 1:25. So, that is the show today. But, man, it's exactly right. It's summer, man.
But you took me back with that one.
It's a beautiful thing because, I mean, Summer League basketball.
That's right.
And the story of last night, there's a few stories to touch on from Summer League. But we felt like if we're going to recap Summer League, we might as well let our man Jazzy Jeff help us do that.
Mm. Thank you.
The debut of one Cooper Flagg. Now, what we're not going to do is talk about the shooting percentage. We're just gonna gloss over.
Please
that.
Don't get caught up in that. Yep.
But he was. I thought he showed Jason like what he is, sort of at his ceiling. Amazing rebounder, great passer.
Yeah.
can come up with some clutch defensive plays there, like that block. Obviously the scoring will have to come, and the efficiency will have to come. But I think when that's probably what people got mixed up about with Cooper Flagg, is they sort of expected him to come in and maybe be this, you know, 25 a night guy. His impact is arguably going to be more felt defensively and on the glass than offense.
Yeah, I think it was Legler that was talking about that last night, and folks have seen it from him for a long time, even though he's only, 18 years old, is a want-to on the defensive end, like a want-to-compete and a want-to-be-good on that end that we're still asking about G.G. Jackson going into year three if he's ever going to get. See, my point, this kid already gets it, and he's got the tools to do it. John said it. Go watch the end of the game. The key block he gets, it sets up a fast break that he leads. He makes the pass to Nembhard for basically the game-winning three. And so it's winning plays that you're going to get all day long. And it comes in a game that he goes 5 of 21. Most rookies, especially that young, you know, they perform that poorly offensively. They're going to check out in terms of the other things. This guy's still doing them, was doing them at the end of the game, when many in the stands are saying, oh, man, Cooper Flagg's disappointed me today. This dude's still making it. So for all the folks that know their stuff, what you saw all through that game, the effort level, how it stayed up the whole way through, was everything that you needed to see. Do not get caught up again in the 5 of 21 and the 10 points. As he said, and look, he knows it too. I mean, he struggled offensively. I think it was 2 of 17, you know, outside the paint. He said it. It was like my worst game I've ever had. There ain't going to be many that look like that, and the fact that the effort stayed high through everything else, through a game like that, tells you, like I said, everything you need to know about him.
Yeah.
He's a grinder to go with all the star-level skill.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this ain't Wimby.
Yeah.
But I thought Jeff said it is Zion. It's that level. We're not holding him to the LeBron Wimby expectations. We're holding him to the, hey, can you be a multiple-time All-Star, sort of like we held Zion to?
Exactly.
Like we've asked of Ja.
And I'll be honest, I think he showed last night that he will be that.
Eventually.
Now, Legler was also talking about his wrist when he shoots the ball.
Oh, that was interesting to me.
Yeah. That he has
criticism of his shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was, and he does have it. You see it. It's a little bit of a hitch.
Had you heard that before?
I didn't know specifically about the wrist.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's
like the ball, the side.
He's got a weird wind up, you know?
And it's a side turn as opposed to in terms of the rotation of the ball.
Right.
In terms of it coming off clean.
And he seemed to think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he was basically like, he's not going to be able to get that off in the NBA.
Well, his point was, he ain't going to be able to get it up to 40%.
Right.
If he shoots it like that.
Right.
In the higher percentage.
So they're going to have to, I mean, this is what these guys do.
Are we taking that to be the gospel just because Tim Legler said it? I was so interested. I never heard sort of that, you know, that crook in his shot.
I mean, obviously.
And he's a shooter. That's what he, you know.
Yeah. I would just say the Mavs probably believe they can fix it.
Okay.
If it does exist, they clearly believe they
probably
can fix
it. They must have talked to him about it. Legler wouldn't have been so open about it if he didn't think it was real and something they were going to address.
Right. Yeah,
or that needed to be addressed.
I also thought.
Good call, because I heard that, and I hadn't. That was interesting to me.
Yeah, it was. And they're going to have to get in on that, clearly starting. You know, I by the way, I expect one more game from him.
It's going to be like Wimby when he plays. He's going to insist on it.
Yeah, because he just
part of it.
Get that shooting taste out of your mouth. That's what I would expect. And then they shut him down. And then the rest of it's a little bit of a disaster. I also would say Bronny James impressed me. Now, that last second BS, whatever, that he was just going for the win.
Yeah, that shot.
Yeah, that was just terrible. But I thought, it was very weird the way they played him. They only played him like 4 minutes at a time. Like, I don't know if they were like trying to hide him or what, but it was very strange. But I thought defensively he was very good. I thought offensively the shot looked much more, comfortable than usual. Maybe the bar was low, and that's why I'm like coming away saying, oh, yeah, Bronny James played so well. But I don't know. I thought if they'd have given him more opportunities like they were giving that Swider dude, my God.
Dude, was he not hitting?
But I mean, God.
This dude can't stop shooting and making shots.
It was actually nuts.
6 of 9 from three.
It was nuts.
Should have been looking for him at the end.
No question. No question. Because he was. He was getting open. He was making every damn thing.
He has a 2K AI face, too. It's weird.
He does. Is he like, I don't know.
It's like perfect skin.
Yeah. Yeah. He has an interesting
look.
And
it was real circular in the face.
Yeah.
He was a strange looking dude.
He is a strange looking dude.
Pure.
Yes. But he is a pure shooter, no question.
It's going to be tough for Bronny, man.
Yes,
because you have to be Drew Holiday, like his daddy said, at that size. He was basically talking about his own son in a way at that size. You know, defensively, he would have to be such a pest to be able to put up a, a 10-year career, even shorter than that probably. And I don't know that he can do that on a regular basis. And while you're right, the shot was more comfortable, he's still 1 of 6
from three.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't, you know, again, you know, we're not holding Cooper to one state of, you know, one shooting percentage. That said, it's a different bag of skills. It's a different size and of player, completely different player. And to sort of make that Bronny Cooper, I thought was unfair in many ways to Bronny, bro. He's just trying to get in a rotation and make a team.
Yeah.
And, man, I hate that this spotlight is on him. But, I guess he's handled it well for the most part. Like, you're getting questions about, I don't know, serious question about your career, and then Cooper, like, you're going to be facing him in the league?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He was guarding him, though. There was a couple because
that's going to be the only time.
It was fun because there was, like, three straight sequences. Like, they kept trying to go to him, and on that baseline, on that play, like, he got it out of bounds, and he fouled him, and Cooper Flagg finally hit one over him. And I think it was his Mavericks teammates that were sitting right there on the sideline. Cooper Flagg turned to him and said something. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the closest thing we've had since Larry.
But when he hit that jumper because he was tired of Bronny poking at the ball.
Yes.
And he turned around. Those were his teammates. Yeah. It looked like it. He said, little boy, them got Mickey Mouse in
that,
the house.
That just shot
right over him.
We have not had a player like this since Larry. I feel very confident.
He's got a swag to him.
Yeah, I mean, Jay Will had the swag, but he didn't have the talent that Cooper Flagg has.
He had talent. He had his body.
Right.
The size.
Exactly.
Rebound, start the break,
that's
go all
right.
the way down. Magic Johnson.
Yes.
You know, he can do that.
Jay Will was a good player.
Did you see what he tried to do to Koloko?
Bro, he almost did it,
too. I mean, it was the John Morant type.
He almost did.
Oh, my gosh, if he had made that, he tried to. He didn't. He wasn't.
It was a foul, by the way.
Yes, I mean he tried to get that.
Oh, yeah.
I told you.
Yeah,
he has
yeah.
this cutthroat man. He wants to catch you slipping.
Yes, he does.
And dunk on you. And he's got the same level of cutthroat mentality on the defensive end. That's what's different about him.
That dude has the juice.
Wants to compete. Yeah, man.
That dude has the juice. Like I was like watching it. I'm just like, woo, oh. Right. He's not Wimby LeBron. But I'm thinking Damo's going to get a Cooper Flagg Mavs jersey.
He is Caitlin. Y'all gonna hype this thing up?
Is that okay?
Well, Caitlin is more like the guys we mentioned, though, in the WNBA. Right. But
yes.
The hype is going to be.
Yes. Now, you touched base with Damo this morning. Do you sign off on a Flag jersey?
Yeah. No, I think you should get it for him now. I think he's going to know Cooper's name probably by the time he's, you know, two, three.
Well, you know, it's
gonna be able to...
like, you know, my kids, two, are going to be two, you know.
Going to be two.
He may, you know, who knows? Like, Cooper Flagg may be his LeBron.
I have no doubt that probably will be.
You know, you and I grew up with guys, you know. I mean, LeBron was definitely the guy for me.
Harrington suggested that you should have already traded AD and make him the centerpiece now, which I guess could get you to whatever he's going to be faster, potentially. Like making it. But I like this not having any pressure on him.
I agree.
Let's see what they got now. With and I realize AD's a walk-in, could be an injury, could go down, and maybe this it's all centered around him before, you know, anyway. You know, even if you had AD as the plan, but I kind of like the not having all of the pressure of the world,
making him
the center of everything like he would be with the Wizards or somebody else.
Also, like, go win.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, win a little bit.
You could be a winner. Like, when you come into the league as
all
opposed to
come.
Because he would lose if it was just
and
him.
I think this guy
league.
Still gets to the level of player no matter how. You know what I'm saying? Whether you give it all to him now, give him the keys now, or he's part of, you know, the second or third best player on the team.
That's right. And I think he has to prove that's who he is. Like, it's possible that he may not be the 1A. He may be the 1B.
He competes like 1A.
You know?
He looked 1A at Duke. He looked 1A against Houston.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
And I didn't think anything was wrong with that shot when I was watching him against Houston. But so that Legler stuff was interesting.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And then around the rest of Summer League, David Jones Garcia, the artist formerly known as David Jones, is the star of this thing. He has been put on a show, even going back to the California Classic. You know, forget about Dylan Harper, forget about Carter Bryant. It has been David Jones Garcia who just lit the Philadelphia. Did he used to play for them too?
Which I think was probably part of it, right? Part of the reason you want to cut him up, and he had 22 of his 24 in the first half, I think.
Yes, exactly.
So he was trying to do in his old organization is what it looked like to me.
Yeah, they won by 41. He had 24, 5, 4 steals, 4 threes. He had 25 against the Lakers. He had 25 against the Warriors. I mean, it feels like he is – if he's not playing his way onto a contract in the summer league, then who can?
Were they the next game?
How do you mean?
I was watching them last night. Was that the next game on after?
Yes. Yes.
So Legler and them were on that too.
Yes.
Now, whoever was on, I think it was Legler, knew that he had averaged.
Yes, in Mexico City.
And he talked about his G League stats last year, averaging 8 rebounds to go with all the points again.
Yes.
And last night he ends up with 4 steals.
Yes.
So I just don't know how this dude doesn't end up on a roster when he's a bona fide bucket and he's proven it to just about everybody in the league. Like the whole league knows he's a bucket.
100%.
So if he can still rebound, and then what it always was are you going to commit to defense or not?
Right.
Basically the same place we're at with Gigi Jackson in a way. Dude, I mean, 4 steals last night, it looked active enough that I can't imagine he isn't making somebody's roster a rotation.
I mean, this is why you play Summer League, isn't it? Because you go there, you ball out, and you get onto somebody's team.
Bro, he is a bucket, man.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, you're telling me there's not a roster spot for this dude?
He had 22 at the half. Like, he could have kept going. He finished with 24, I think. Yeah. I mean, he could have kept going, man.
Yeah. It feels like he'll get a contract somewhere, whether it's NBA, overseas, he'll get paid a lot of money to do it. But he was an absolute bucket last night, and he's been that, you know, all summer long for the Spurs. And then Naquan Tomlin had 30.
I was going to say, he wasn't even the highest scoring former Tiger when Tomlin's got 30. Man, we said this when he was here, that dude had every NBA tool.
Yep. That's why I was like, you guys are always being such pansies about that addition, because he clearly made the team better with his ability. Like, why y'all, you know, wanted to be, you know, sour about that on the team was just, you know, it just tells
Come on,
you.
He was good. I mean, did it because you made a case that Nick Alla, it just had a trickle-down effect that maybe affected, you know, other guys' efforts. That's no fault of Naquan Tomlin.
100%. That's on them.
Yeah. But you question, can you, you know, bring in a body? I don't know. Like you said, you brought in a talent. You're in the business of competing.
Exactly.
You know, a coach is going to say, bro, man up.
Exactly.
We brought in a guy that's better than you. What, you going to quit on us? I mean, that's the kind of conversation you have with men.
That's right.
And probably what should have transpired.
If it didn't. But he's playing really well for the Cavaliers Summer League team. He was on there last year as well. And then Lester Quinones had 20 yesterday.
No, I think it's year 4 for him.
Yeah, he's getting up there. But, he's been on a main roster before.
DeMichael talked to him. I think it's year 4 for him. He talked about, you know, staying in touch with Penny and kind of watching from afar, but having to, you know, prove it and try to find a spot. He had 20. He made it look easy.
Yeah, he did.
And it just shows you how hard it is, because we always thought Lester is premier 3-and-D guy. With the way that he could defend, that's what got him on the court early.
Yep.
With that 6'5 body.
Yep.
No, he's not ultra athletic, but he knew how to use it, and especially how to lay into you, and then the way you could shoot.
Yep.
And look at it, going into year 4, still trying to find that spot, but made it look easy. It was a team high he's with the Pelicans now.
Yep. So there you have it. That's the Summer League action yesterday. It was fun. It should be a fun day today. Got a couple of big ones. I'll do my Summer League recap. I do have a bet. I gave you guys Mavs +4 yesterday. That was a winner. We want to keep the good times rolling. I have one bet for today, and it's not the Grizzlies. The revenge of Kenneth Lofton Jr. is concerning me there with that number.
There you go. He could be looking at us like David Jones was looking at looking at Philly last night.
And, like, these favorites, bro, are not covering. Like, they're just not. You know, like, these 5.5, 6.5-point favorites, it's just not been.
The Lakers were favored by how many last night?
Close, 3.5 or 4, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it really was never – I mean, they had one little span in the third where they got it to like 10, but other than that, it was very nip-tuck. All these games are nip-tuck.
Because of who? Dalton Connect? Like, who were you
Swider.
Basing that on?
Swider.
Connect, the way he shot
Swider,
the ball.
Yeah. And I think the Mavs, I think the market's assessment of the Mavs Summer League team is that other than Black, it sucks, which is true. There's no NBA guys on it. But it doesn't matter.
But you have a Nimhard.
He's
going to show y'all he's an NBA guy.
Nimhard was the difference. There's no doubt about it.
Man, that dude there, bro.
Yeah, he was the difference. Yeah. And that's what happens, right? Sometimes these guys just come out of nowhere.
And get drafted.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Anthony's hanging and joins us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, the offseason, Summer League, Cooper Flag, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, how are you trying to...
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity. But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Anthony Sane is the host, the well-groomed host, he always is, of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media, with new episodes airing live every day at 2 p.m. Make sure you're checking him out. Underground King of Memphis Sports Media, Tribal Chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Saint. Follow him on X at Saint Asylum, and he may be fresh out of the barber chair right now. I don't know for sure. We will ask him. Saint, how are you?
Man, I'm good, man. How y'all doing over there, bro?
I think it's good. It's
Friday. A beautiful day, bro. I mean, Cooper Flag saves us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's just call it what it is.
Know how the whites feeling.
It flared kind of red last night, but it's all good. I'm with you. I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for him. For sure.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, just ignore the shooting. Let's talk about everything else.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah,
do you agree that we have not had someone like him since Larry?
Oh, yeah, I said that a long time ago. He's easily the best American, white American NBA prospect since Larry Bird, without a doubt. Like, and that's... It's a long time, bro. Like, I'm Larry Bird's first. I mean, I'm 45 years old, and me and Larry Bird came into this world at the same time. Bro. He came to the NBA just the year I was born, so it's been a long time, bro.
Damn. That's what they say. You got to watch out for the white boys from Maine, you know? We don't have lot, but when we do get one. Yeah, I thought, like, you know, the shooting is – do you think that comes, or do you think that that's going to be a struggle for him?
Man, trust me, I'm strictly joking, man. You talking about an 18-year-old kid, first game against, you know, nothing but pros on the court. Nobody, no team he played in college was as good talent-wise as the teams that he's played. He's going to be playing against in the summer league. It just shows you the difference, how much the difference it is between college and the NBA. But he's going to be fine, man. He's going to be one of the better players in the NBA, you know, soon, very soon. So I'm just joking about how he looked last night. A lot of guys had bad summer league debuts. I'm not worried about that at all, man. Once he finds himself and he gets comfortable, he'll look as good as advertised.
You can tell, like some of these folks are going to try to punk him, you know, thinking that you can do that. Like, that's what it felt like Darius Bazley was trying to do to him. You know, they haven't been around a little bit and seen a few things, going to push him around or whatever else. But what's so crazy is that he's just 18, saying, you know what I'm saying, that he's that young and seemingly, you know, you can't – he's got a level of competitiveness to him that really does remind me of – Oh, but he's got that TJ McConnell intensity, but then a whole bag of skills and size that, you know, goes beyond that, probably back to Bird.
I say this all the time when I have conversations about, you know, the greatest players of all time conversations, when you're talking about the LeBrons, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, the Kobe Bryants, whatever you're saying. When I've had these conversations with people, the thing that I say about guys like Michael Jordan is that he was a guy who was probably one of the most athletic basketball players to ever get on the court. And plus, he played with an edge as if he wasn't that guy. Like, you know what I mean? So that's a deadly combination for a guy like Cooper Flagg. He's not an elite-level athlete like that, but he's a highly skilled player. He's athletic enough, great defender, all those type of things. And he definitely plays with an edge, definitely plays with a chip on his shoulder. So those are the makings of a great player for sure. So I'm looking forward to it. I wasn't able to check it out live yesterday. I still got to go back and watch. I saw some highlights or whatever, but I got to go back and watch that full game if I can. But, yeah, the Cooper Flag era is here for sure.
I'm pretty sure Musa caught a lob from him. That's what I love. Like, it's like random Memphis Tiger players, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Summer League. That's why I love Summer League, because, like, most of these guys are not going to be NBA players, you know, but they deserve opportunities. And Summer League, like, whether it's Musa or David Jones or Lester Quinones or, you know, Naquan, like, there's just a ton of these Memphis Tiger guys out there, you know, and it's a good chance, like, hey, give it a shot, man. Go see what you have, you know? That's why I love – people joke about Summer League, but I think it's great in that sense, because where else would they get that opportunity to wear an NBA jersey, you know, and play with a guy like Cooper Flagg?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And it was – you know, you saw the stuff about the amount of money that was spent, you know, on the tickets or whatever, and all those type of things. And
to see Musa.
Bronny taking –
That was to see Musa.
Bronny with the attempt to win the game at the end.
Yeah,
that's magical stuff that's happened last night in Vegas, man.
What did you think of GG and Salt Lake? Let's go back through that, because we haven't gotten a chance to talk to you about how those guys looked, and we're certainly hoping to see more of it starting today against Boston. But what did you think of what we saw from GG Jackson?
Man, I've been absolutely loving it, man. GG's a guy who, you know, the perfect storm of bad stuff happened to him. Imperfect storm of bad stuff happened to him last season. You know what I mean? He looked pretty good in summer league last year. And then you had, you know, the foot injury. And then you had, you know, him coming in late in the season and couldn't really get in the rhythm. And then you heard the reports of not so direct reports, not so straight to the point reports about him and some maturity issues in the locker room and on the bench and all those type of things with Gigi. And you heard him pretty much admit those things in our article with Drew Hill. And just to see that now, he seems like he's, you know, first of all, admitting those things, holding himself accountable for some of the issues he had last season. And also, it looks like him and Coach Isolo have a pretty good relationship, that they have an open line of communication, and he's being direct with Gigi, giving him expectations, and kind of carving out a role for him, man. And I'm excited to see what he's doing. I've always thought that our approach to the summer league was always pretty lazy, as far as a guy has a good rookie season or a good second season, just give him the ball and just let him just feature him on offense. I always thought that was a pretty counterproductive thing to do, because that's not the things these guys are going to be doing when the season actually starts. Like, I don't want to see Zaire Williams at point guard, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to see Desmond Bane at point guard either, just to be honest with you. But I think that now, actually using Gigi in a way that you actually would use him if Ja and Jaren were on the court, I'm really a big fan of that, because I can see a lot of things that he's doing in these G League, in these summer league games, how they can translate over to actual games this season. So I'm excited about what Gigi's doing. He seems like he's mentally in a good place, and I'm just hoping he can come out with that same energy when the season starts.
It was summer league, but he had a Cooper flag, and Cooper, we were talking about this play Cooper flag made at the end of the game where he blocks his shot, starts the break, and makes the pass to Nembhard that wins the game. Gigi had a similar play where he goes up, blocks a shot off the backboard, runs the length of the floor to go catch a lob and gets an and one. And you saw, you know, with his length, you saw the ability to block shots. Has Gigi's, you know, issues on the defensive end, have they been more about, hey, he's never been taught how to guard? Are there challenges there? Is it just a mental thing where he's got to lock in just you and him on that end? Because that seems like so much of it. We were talking about this with Brevin. If he can get it on that end, seems like he can buy himself even more minutes, because we know he's a bucket, especially when he's being aggressive offensively. What is it with Gigi and his defense? Can he be effective on that end?
I think it's one of those things, Jason and John, Brad, you guys are all married men. It's kind of one of those things how, like, if you wipe the counter down at night and your wife wakes up in the morning and says, "Babe, I just love the way you wipe the counter down." The next day, you might, you know, totally clean up the whole house. You know what I mean? It's sometimes you just got to learn how to speak a kid's language, learn how to encourage him in the right way. And you can just get those things out of a guy, man. And Gigi said they're just being direct with him. They'll tell him what they expect, and he's going out there and doing it. And I don't know what the disconnect might have been with the previous coaching staff, but for him to come out and say that, I think it speaks volumes. But, of course, he's capable of doing it. And the things that you see him doing, there are reasons why people have said that, you know, Gigi may be the most talented player to ever play for the Grizzlies. Like, that's for real, man. Like, you're talking about a guy who's 6'9", who has all the tools in the world. It's just a matter of him being able to put those things together. So if Gigi can do that, he can definitely be a guy who can be a great asset for this team on both sides of the court. He's just got to lock in and get it done, man. And another thing, too, we've kind of created this thing where, especially in Gigi Jackson's case, where we're pretending like most guys in the league aren't two-way players. Like, most of the guys in the league are only good on one side of the ball. But he's a guy that if he gets decent on the defensive side and gets more focus on offense and simplifies his game, he could be a heck of a player for this team, man, for years to come.
Yep. Talking to Anthony Sain, joins us every Friday here on the show. Catch him on the Anthony Sain Show. And, I don't know how much you can take from, you know, summer league in terms of what's going to translate with the system. You know what I mean? Like, how are you watching that part of it?
I like it, man. I had Jessica Benson on my show the other day, and she talked about some things as well. She noticed that they're very intentional with the way that they're running things on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. You're starting to see some of the Tomas Isolo system out there, and I like it, man. I like what I'm seeing. I like how they're doing certain things. A lot of attacking by the ball handlers, and a lot of attacking in the point of attack on defense. The fast pace. Definitely like how they're using Gigi and Jalen Wells. Like I said, they could easily just say, "Hey, take the ball and go score 30." But they're scoring a lot of points, but they're doing it within the flow of the offense. You know what I mean? And kind of in a role that would be used if Ja and Jaren were there as well. So I like it. Coach Isolo hasn't been interviewed officially. No one's had a sit down with him. I would really love to see some of the things he's had to say about summer league so far. But hopefully we can get some of that in Vegas.
Is this a Kenneth Lofton revenge game today? John informs me that he is with the Celtics.
I didn't know we were playing
Chinese MVP.
Yeah, I'm sure
Chinese
he's going
basketball.
Maybe let me put some respect back on that.
He beat out Eric Bledsoe and Jared Sullinger for that award.
Mm. Yeah, poor what's the kid's name that everybody's trying to give the two way to from North Carolina? Poor Armando Bacot.
Oh, okay. You think Bacot's about to get put through the ringer today?
Yeah, you know he's gonna try to destroy him, man. For sure.
I just don't like. We need the fact that they had to go out and I guess sign Jock Landale. You know, it just shows you there is no hope for Bacot, does it not? I looked; he only had 5 rebounds last game I was watching.
God bless his soul, man. I don't understand why people are trying to.
It's not going to happen.
As a guy who's
nope.
I don't see what other people are saying.
It's not there. I'm with you.
I don't think I said anything mean on Twitter, but I said something about that whole situation, and he came back and he liked the tweet. I was like, "All right, bro, hope that motivates you or whatever." But
oh wow, I didn't.
See it, man. I don't see it, bro. Like I don't understand why people think that he's. I mean, I don't think any less of him than the Grizzlies seem to think about him. I mean, he didn't have a two-way contract at all last year, and he was doing pretty well in the G League. And they gave one to the Colin Castleton kid, but they didn't give one to him. And I don't think he even played any game. I don't think he played for us at all. I think he's still technically registered as a rookie because he hasn't played any NBA minutes. I don't think he's played any preseason games, any of that type of stuff. So I don't understand why we're kind of penciling him in as a two-way player. I do not see that happening.
Let's not do that.
The Grizzlies have over the years kind of got that two-way late, that last two-way late in the game. Typically on a guy that's kicking butt on another team in the summer league. Yep. So I don't and Armando Bacot, I'm not in the position of just giving those out. And like I said, I'm not trying to hate on the man, but I'm not saying anything any worse than what the Grizzlies are doing. They don't seem to see him as 100%. An actual NBA player.
100%.
The way our fans seem to. Some of our fans seem to.
So, I whatever happens with GG Jackson, it's not going to be determined by, these next 4 or 5 games, whatever it is, right?
For sure.
It's going to be about, his approach in training camp. It's going to be his approach, in preseason. What sense do you have of him being – not just a member of this roster, but like, all right, next year you're going to be, I guess I would ask, what is his chance? What is his path to being a real rotation, dare say even starter, for this Grizzlies team? Is there one?
Mm-hmm. Depending on the Jaren situation, whether he misses games or not, I think Jaren will miss some games. GG at that point will be, in essence, your backup power forward behind Santi. I hope he comes in ready to prove himself during that time. He'll also get some minutes. And small forward as well. But Santi will get minutes in small forward too. It's going to be kind of hard to find minutes for him. And I've pretty much prepared myself for that because of his the logjam, a lot of these positions. But I think if he has a good camp, he can come in, and kind of cement his role a little bit. In a perfect world to me, man, I've talked about this on my show a lot. In a perfect world, GG comes out to the point where you have a good Santi year, a good GG Jackson year. And you're able to use Santi as a trade asset at the deadline. I would love for GG to have that level of season for this team where you feel like GG can play that same role and you could turn Santi into something else. That would be a perfect world for me. But it is going to be kind of hard for him to find minutes. But with Jaren out, maybe for the beginning of the season, he probably can get a few more minutes that way. But we'll see, man. I hope he can find a way for sure.
The Landale pickup, you like that one? Mm-hmm. We kind of knew
it's cool.
We saw it coming. Isla wants more of a big like Zach Edey that can help out Ja and go rebound, right?
Yeah. If you have this emergency center who can start a little bit or be a reserve or don't play at all, whatever you're trying to do, Jock Landale probably fits what Isla wants to do better than Jay Huff did. Jay Huff is my guy, though. I like Jay Huff. But I think that Jock Landale serves a better actual role to the way they want to play or whatever. He's a guy who he's had some time as a starter. It seems like I remember some altercation between him and somebody on our team. I may be thinking of the wrong guy, but it seems like I remember him bumping heads with somebody. Maybe Jaren, or it seems like I remember him getting into it with somebody on this team. But with things are kind of tied up with the Grizzlies as far as assets and making particular moves. I'm still pulling for them to do something else before the season starts to obtain a big. I would like a big to be on this team who's better than Zach Edey coming into the season, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But I do think that when I say the Grizzlies aren't done, they're probably done as far as between now and the regular season. But between now and February, I definitely think there's going to be some movement on this roster, just the way that some of the things are shaking out.
We've discussed with you, and I think it was as recently as last week, you were saying, you know, if things break right, you could talk yourself into it. Maybe they show us, you know, a top six seed. What about the other side of this, saying, if I was just bringing up, you know, what does failure look like? Is there, or has Zach Kleiman sort of pushed a reset button here and moving on from Bane and going younger? And obviously this is going, and you have a new coach that's unproven. You know, are we saying there is no failure? I'm curious, sort of, what's the bar this year, and what would failure look like? What would get, you know, what would have people frustrated, and rightfully so, with Zach Kleiman if called for? Is there that, or are we going total reset here? Whatever happens.
No. I don't think he's got a pass at all. If something unfortunate happens, like a extended injury with Jaren, or Jaws out for a long, has an injury where he's out. You know, of course, it kind of is what it is at that point. And then you're looking at that, you know, 2026 pick you got from Orlando, which will be either the Suns or Washington, as well as your pick. And that's when you're looking at that type of stuff if the season gets off the rails early. But I think this team should be a top four, top six team in the West. I think that should be the goal, to be, you know, somewhere between four and six. I think that's a realistic expectation. A lot of people, I get it. You lost on top, you lost a very good player in Desmond Bane, but this team, I like the way it's constructed better. I like the way that they're building the team. You added, for all intents and purposes, three vet players to this team. You added KCP, you added Ty Jerome, you added Jock Landale. Those aren't household names, but they're guys who've been there, done that. KCP's a two-time champion. Ty Jerome was, you know, one of the finalists for Sixth Man of the Year. Shot the ball top three in the NBA percentage-wise. Jock Landale's been around for a long time, a super tough guy. And I talked about this on my show yesterday as well. KCP is probably – he will be the most productive vet you've had on this team since Jay Crowder, bro. Like, I mean, going back to the rookie year of Ja Morant, he's easily going to be the most productive guy that you've had on this team since then. He's going to be a better player, probably without a doubt, than Jay Crowder was. So I'm excited about this season. It's going to look a lot different. They're going to play a lot different. But you've got more versatility. You've got more guys that could come in and produce off your bench as well. And I think the team's going to look like it's got actual depth and not kind of the pretend depth we had during certain moments last year.
What is your level of I don't even know if it's a concern or just your feeling about Coward not playing in these games. Like, is it something that you think ultimately matters at all? Like what would you sort of give that weight to in not being there for summer league? It sounds like
I don't really care about it at all. The selfish fan of me would love to see him go out there and play and look good. Ja Morant didn't play in summer league at all. You know what I mean? We didn't see Ja until preseason, and it was kind of questionable whether we were going to see him then. I don't really care about that too much at all. I would love to see him. I think that if the Zach Edey stuff didn't go down the way it went down in summer league last year, you may have probably seen more of a sense of urgency to see him out there. But with Zach getting hurt twice in summer league, it's not worth it at all. We want to see this kid when things get going. And that's another thing too, man. I think that if that kid's anywhere close to decent, it can really change the trajectory of what this team is, simply because the position he's going to be playing and what being good at that position would look like for this team. So if he's a guy who's able to give you, you know, 8 to 10 points per game, you know, shoot high 30% from three, or basically have another Jalen Wells type season this year for us, I think that that can really help this team out a lot. But like, I want to see what he is, but I'm in no extreme rush. If he still needs time to get revved up playing 5-on-5 basketball, man, take your time. We'll see you in October.
Yeah, I mean, they're banking on it, right? I mean, he feels like he's the lubricant, so to speak, right? Like,
right. They moved. Yeah. They, you know what I mean? A future first round pick,
right,
to go up in the draft to go get this kid.
So there's no need screwing around. A perfect season for Cedric Coward. I'm talking about best case scenario. Like, not even good. Best case scenario is what for the Grizzlies next year with him?
To look like guys like the Mikal Bridges of the world looked like last year. I mean, I'm sorry, rookie year. If he can come out looking like one of those guys who, you know, can knock down threes and defend on a high level, a slightly better Jalen Wells year, I think that's probably a ceiling for him. I don't think he's going to come out looking like, you know, a star-level guy, but you know, he could. I mean, but, yeah, because he's got the tools to really be good. So, Yeah, I think the expectation level, if he can be, if he can come out of people saying, well, the Grizzlies found somebody, they found another 3-and-D guy, I think that's a realistic expectation for sure.
I'm just wondering, Sam, if you're going to be ready to talk me off the ledge next year when we get, you know, we have that loss to Sacramento because we didn't play our stars a full 35 minutes. You know, John Jarren only played 29, could have gone a little bit longer. That seems to be something that's going to be Isolo, and especially early on, he said, uh-huh. I'll switch it up if I have to. But you all in on that, bro? You all in on that style? That's going to work eventually? Do we have a roster that's built to do it? You know, with Isolo, that playing your stars, you know, less we're gonna play them.
Yeah,
because that's coming, baby. It's coming.
I think we'll see that. It won't be as bad as it looked last year, I don't think. I think we have to allow Isolo time to get his rookie bumps off, just like we allow anybody else as a first-year coach. You're going to see some highs and some lows, a lot of inconsistency from him. I do like his approach to the game. I like the way that he explains the game. I think he'll be good for us. And I think you'll see that throughout the season. But like I said, man, if guys like Gigi, guys like Coward, you know, guys like Santi, if these guys are able to answer the bell, I mean, you can go a little deeper into your rotation.
No doubt.
If Ty Jerome's good, you know, with guys like Scottie Pippen Jr. ready to take whatever that next leap is for him, you know, you can afford to go deep, you know, and you may be without Jaren to start the season, so you'll have to see. But, man, like we said, we'll wrap up all these conversations with all this depends on number 12, man. Like, if he's healthy, if you're getting 60-something, 70-something games of him, if he's playing, you know, 25, 30 minutes a game, I'll take it, bro, as opposed to missing games or whatever. But that's not really a concern of mine too much this year either, because outside of injuries, like major injuries, I think Ja does have pressure on him from people like Nike and just internal pressure, man, just to go out there and do something. I mean, Ja hadn't made an All-Star game, and I think we're looking at 3 years in a row, you know what I mean? So he's not been All-NBA in those type of things. And I think he's, you know, looking to answer the bell as far as that's concerned as well. But, man, I think it's going to be a fun season. I have a high-level expectation to get this season started. I want to see a lot of these teams come together on the court.
Yeah, and then sort of around the NBA, OKC is keeping its core together, you know, and I know people are, you know, there are some people who inaccurately said it's over because they're going to go on, but the salary cap, of course, as we know, mm-hmm. will go up.
It's going to expand. Yeah.
Do you sense that this OKC team will continue to be the problem that it was this season? Like, what sort of do you think is the trajectory for them?
Yeah, they're going to continue to get good. You got to remember, man, like as good as those guys were, they have not hit their prime age at all. Those guys are young, man. That's the second youngest team in NBA history to win a championship, and they're just going to get better over time. They're continuing to bring in, you know, good young players. That's why I was telling Grizzly fans, too, and they were like, man, just get that pick out of here. I'm like, man, the reigning NBA champions are going to draft somebody in this NBA draft, and they're going to get as many young players as they can. And signed is AJ Mitchell. They signed him to a deal. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue to get younger, and they're going to continue to get better, man. That's, in today's NBA, you have to have those young guys coming up, which is why I'm pulling for guys like a Cedric Cowell or Jalen Wells, you know, a Cam Spencer. I want these type of guys to thrive because that's today's NBA, man. You gotta hit on young guys. You're going to see a lot of teams where a bunch of old guys are going to try to meet up and become the Expendables or whatever. But it's just not today's NBA, man. That stuff don't work. You've got to have some youth on your team for sure. But we'll see, bro. We'll see how the whole thing goes down. I think the West is going to be really good next year. Denver reloaded. They're going to be good. It's going down for sure next year.
Cam's been shooting that thing. And he's got a little Cooper Flagg level of edge to him, too. We saw it against KD last year, just in terms of that edge. A level of crazy.
He got a level of crazy. Any dude is wearing T-shirts that look like they came in a pack, like they were folded up. he may have got them from the corner store. Like, you know he's a lunatic. He looks like he sleeps in his uniform, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Cam Spencer. But I was talking to Jessica about that. I kind of wonder how he gets minutes, like, for real. Because if you've got
– shooting only, right? Because everybody – you have enough people on the ball, right? Yeah. It'd have to be if nobody's hitting threes. I'm with you on this. How does he play?
Because if you got Ty Jerome, you got Scottie Pippen Jr., you got Ja, those are three guys that can all be primary ball handlers. Like, how do you do some super small lineups just to get Cam out there because of that shooting? Maybe.
And what's that do to you defensively, to your point?
Yeah, because you're talking about a guy who's like 6'2", not athletic at all, really. Just, you know, looks like a guy who's going to be, you know, running for mayor of Memphis in 10 years more than a guy who's going to be a basketball player. So it's going to be hard to find, you know, lineups where he is able to thrive. But, man, I don't count that dude out at all.
Saying you're the best, man. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thank you, brother. Have a great weekend.
All right, y'all.
Yep. He is Anthony Saint. Joins us every Friday here on the show. Catch him on the Anthony Saint Show, Bluff City Media. We'll come back. Got another slate of Summer League. I'll give you my previews. Some players to watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch any Summer League besides the Mavs?
Yeah, I told you I watched David Jones.
That's right. That's right.
New name, Cortez.
Garcia.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay. It's an easy
hyphenated. It's not easy for me. Clearly,
yeah. It's a Freudian slip. I mean, it's easy to mix those up. Mm-hmm. But
I apologize.
So
no, I watched that one afterwards.
Yeah, I watched. I watched a little bit of every game. I would say I watched a little bit of the Orlando Kings game. I watched a little bit of the Cleveland Indiana game, which is kind of nuts. Right,
because Indiana, our man Cam Jones was in. You haven't told us about him.
Yeah, Indiana came back from down like their damn their main team. They were down 11 with a minute left. They came back and won the damn thing. It's crazy.
Was Cam on the floor?
I don't believe he was.
Okay,
I have to check, but I don't think he.
It
for
was
the last,
Quentin that was coming.
Yeah,
can't think of his last name.
Jackson.
The other Quentin Jackson. Yes.
Yeah.
Texas. Say which Texas college team he played for? Texas Texas A&M. Texas Tech.
I don't know. I don't know where he's from.
Quentin Jackson.
Yeah.
Thought he was there like the whole time.
Cam played 20 minutes. So it does seem
he didn't play.
He started, but he only played 20 minutes.
Right.
So it seems like.
And Quentin Jackson had more points and assists, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see him. They were going with Ray J. Dennis and Quentin Jackson at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like he was off the floor.
And Quentin Jackson scored points. He played for Indiana last year. Like, he helped them win games.
Right.
He's just a little bit further ahead in the process with them.
Right.
So I wonder about Cam's real opportunity when you got McConnell up there, you got this Quentin Jackson guy up there, this opportunity that we say is there,
exactly.
You know, with Halliburton down.
Yeah. Yeah, so I watched the whole Mavs game, obviously.
It was Texas A&M for
A&M, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, yes.
I watched the Mavs. Yes. I didn't watch much of the Timberwolves. I watched the Thunder Nets game. I did see that. Nothing really exciting there in terms of Memphis ties. Didn't really watch any of the other two that last night.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.